Lord, we just thank you and we bless you, Lord. We thank you for our youth, Lord. Thank you for those who work diligently with our youth. We thank you for their parents, their guardians, their grandparents, everyone that sows into their life, Lord. And you told us to train up the children in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. We thank you for this Youth Sunday. We thank you for all that you're doing in their lives. We pray for them. We pray for their parents, Lord. Give us wisdom. Give the parents wisdom, Lord, how to raise their children, how to train up their children in the fear and admonition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord. We pray that they would always be mindful to be salt, light, and love. So we thank you and we bless you, Lord. We ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. God, we need you more today than ever. We need the light of your word more today than ever. Bless your people to hear. Bless your people to discern. Open our hearts and minds to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to us today, Lord. Holy Spirit, continue to rule and reign throughout this service. We love you. We're surrendered and submitted to you. Speak now, Lord, through your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So as we've been on this series, Is God Enough?, we find ourselves in the wilderness with the children of Israel. And we understand that literally and figuratively, as we journey through, we are in the wilderness as well. And so we pick it up at verse 32. Our foundation scripture for our visitors was in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I believe it's verse 6 or maybe it's verse 7, where Paul is talking to the Corinthians about the children of Israel, how they were our examples of how not to be, and the five things that kept them out of the promised land. Jesus Christ has promised us life and that more abundantly. And the same five things that kept them from the promise is the same thing that keeps us from the promise of a complete, abundant life in Christ. So we're at number 2, which was idol worship. They built idols. And so we kind of went to the prelude, and we're looking at what happened when they were in the wilderness and caused them to worship an idol. So verse 32 and chapter 32 and verse 1, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. So make two notes. Number one, be careful when God doesn't operate according to your time frame that you don't start building a golden calf in place of God. Amen. And then don't let the peer pressure of others force you to build a golden calf.
Amen.
You have another mic? Thank you, Brother John. So here we go. We have peer pressure. We have God delaying. And then I have to build up a golden calf. I have to create a God according to my mind and my design. And that's always a problem. But then look, here's the key that we talked about. They gathered themselves unto Aaron and said unto him, "Up, get up, make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him." Make a note, they wanted a God to go before them. So make a note that we all need something to follow. Amen. Make a note that you are following something right now. You are. Either it's the golden calf or it's God. It's really no in between. One is a deception and one is a true and living God. But we all are following something. Amen. Look at 32 and 7. Here's the second problem. 32 and 7. God said unto Moses, "Go get thee down, for the people which you have brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." So make a note, it is a corruption to worship anything other than God. Amen?
Amen.
And then verse 8, they have turned aside quickly, underline quickly. Boy, if you're not rooted and grounded in Christ, you will quickly turn away. I wanted to make a note with this being Youth Sunday that parents and guardians and grandparents, just make a note that while we're in the wilderness, the youth are watching us.
Amen.
Amen. They're watching how quickly we turn aside from God. Thank you, Brother John. The youth are watching how quickly they see us coming to church. They see us doing and, you know, and doing the church thing. And then the first sign of the wilderness, how quickly we turn away and start going after a different God. They're watching us. So I'm kind of combining the two messages, because as we're in the wilderness, the youth are watching us, and the youth are in their own wilderness, and they need to know that they shouldn't be hasty and start building a golden calf. Verse 8, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded, God commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it. Underline that, we talked about it. It's okay to build your business. It's okay to build your church. It's okay to build your marriage, build your family, build your job, build your career. But when you worship it, you've crossed the line.
Amen.
Not only did they build it, and that's okay, but when they worshiped it, that's the problem. We're in here, we're entrepreneurs and everything else. We're trying to build things, and that's okay. Even the church, you know, people, they worship the church. They don't worship God. It's all about their church. No, we're building the church, but we don't worship anything but God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's okay to build it, to have your dreams. It's okay to try and build your education, but you don't worship your degree. You don't worship your college. You don't worship your intellect, because it all came from God. They have worship and have sacrificed. Not only did they worship it, then they've sacrificed. They said, we're going to commit all our time and effort to this. This is going to take priority in our life. Said, these be our gods. O Israel, which have brought us up out of the land of Egypt. That is a problem. Say, Pastor, why is it a problem? It's a problem because whatever you follow, eventually you will worship. And we're all following something. Okay, all right, so let me see. Because I know sometimes we have difficulty understanding. And so let's break it down. Make a note, we were built to worship. So you have to worship something. You have to. I gave you the assignment, just watch the football game. Just 30 minutes of it. And I tried to help some of you out. I said, look, I can't worship anything that could possibly lose. Okay? Can't do it. I can't, Sister Washington, Big Mother, because if my team lose, I'm just too jacked. I can't. I had to let it go. Worship Christ all day, because Christ has already got the victory. We've already got the. He's already won when he resurrected. So I can worship that and feel good, even on my worst days, because I know we win in the end. Amen.
Amen.
So we were watching the game, and people, they got their face painted and screaming and hollering. And my daughter says, Dad, you think they're worshiping? I'm like, wow. Whew. It sure looks like it. It looks like it to me. Look like they've gone overboard. It's okay to build it, but you got to know. And you're so passionate about it. Family, we need to be just as passionate about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're always following someone or something. Where's Sister Kathy? I have a read this, Sister Kathy, so I guess I better read it. It says, we're built to follow and worship something. You all act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, all right. I wrote that too. It's right here. I'll let you read it later, Brother Anthony. So here we go. Let me break. I've known men and women to follow another man or woman halfway around the world that they're not even married to. Not even committed, but they'll follow them all the way around the world. Amen. I had a coworker, and she says, hey, look, this is my last day on the job. I'm like, what do you mean? Well, my boyfriend got a job up north, and so we're packing up. And we're moving. I said, you mean you're packing up and shacking up and you're moving up north?
That's right. That's what it is.
I said that to myself. I didn't say that. And so I said, so you're It's not married. No, no, it's just that. So we're going to get a place and his job is taking him, so I'm going with him. But we all following something. Come on, Kathy, don't act like you haven't heard it before. Come on. Your job relocates. Either you're going to follow it or you're not. We have some military in here, and the military sent you there. You got to go because we're built to follow, and then we're built to worship. And most of you know that my wife and I, we went to high school together and high school sweethearts and all that kind of stuff. And then I went to LMU, and the next thing I know, somebody else is at LMU. Somebody else. So, you know, if you ask me, and since I have the mic, somebody followed me, right? But if you ask her, she'll tell you a slightly different version. But you heard the real deal from me. Sister Tara, yes, you did. We're built to follow. We're built. Look. Okay, so. All right, look at where we at. We're still in 32. Okay, let's look at 32 and 34. See, and this is what God is saying. Therefore, now go. Lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angel shall go before thee. So we're to follow God. We're to follow God's presence. We're to worship God. What you follow is what you worship. God is saying, my angel is going before you. My presence is going before you. Follow that. Our circumstances will tell us God has taken too long. You need to build your own God of your own mind and your own design. Let me show you why it was really a problem. Go to Exodus 20. Let's go back to 20 and 1. And we're all over the place. And you all know how we do it because I can't. I got ADD when it comes to studying and I'm all over the place. Amen. I'm trying to paint a picture that us going after golden calves in our life will keep us in the middle of the wilderness. A trip that should have taken them 11 days, took them 40 years. They died in their dysfunction because they were chasing golden calves in the wilderness. God's promised us life and that more abundantly, a complete life in Christ, and we'll start chasing golden calves and we'll die in our dysfunction and never get to where God wants us to go. The problem wasn't somebody shacking up or somebody lying, stealing, and cheating. It's that they're in the middle of the wilderness chasing a golden calf. They're going to die there and never get to where God wants them to go. What an unfulfilled life that is. Not because of what you're doing, but because where you can't go in God because you're chasing a golden calf in the middle of the wilderness. Amen. What were they doing for 40 years? Chasing golden calves. It's the second thing. But look at verse 20. I mean, chapter 20, Exodus 20 and 1. God's delivered them. God's brought them across the Red Sea. Defeated their enemies. And then God spoke all these words saying, look what he said first. I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. It's the first thing he told them. I brought you out. Remember that. Don't put anything else before me. Why? Because if you can't keep the first commandment, you eventually will break all 10 of them. If you can't put God first, you will lie, you'll steal, you'll cheat, you'll sleep around, you'll do any and everything. You have golden calves everywhere in your life. If you can't put God first, you will not love your neighbor as yourself. You will not pray for your enemies. You will not bless those that persecute and despitefully use you. If you don't have God first, you can't do it. The first thing God told him, it's going to get rough, but you can't have any other gods than me. Other than me. Look at verse 4. You should not make unto any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You know, people could go crazy over dolphins and this and that and we'll wear our cross and all. God said, no, I'm not the cross. I'm the Lord and Savior. God said, don't put anything before me. Only thing we worship is God. We can build other things, but don't worship anything but God. God says, nothing comes before me. And family, I issued the challenge about 3 years ago that before we start our day, we get up 5-10 minutes early Open up the Proverbs. It's real easy. And look, what a perfect day to start is tomorrow, because it's October 1st. Proverbs 1. And you go through every day, you go through a proverb all the way to 31. And then the next month you start it again. What does that do, Pastor? This is what it does. Pastor, just let me tell you what it does. It trains you to get up every morning and worship God before you leave the house. You can pray and put on your worship music in the car, but take time to get up first. Give God his first. And then God exposes the idols in your life. When you're spending that time in prayer, God will speak to your heart and let you know what's being a priority and what's taking the place of him. And again, if you don't have time and you say, Pastor, I'm too busy, then I would have to tell you, yes, you are too busy. God, I'm too busy. Then you know what? You really are too busy. You need to, something needs to slow down. Amen. You're chasing the golden calf. Something needs to slow down. All right, so let's go. Let's see if we can finish this up. 23 and 20. Exodus 23 and 20. It's a critical real-time message, because when we walk out of here, we're faced with the golden calves in our life. There's so many distractions and deception out there that we just have to be careful, family. You got to put your time in. And youth, as much as we love you, we can't love God for you. That's the relationship you have to develop yourself. As much as we care about you, we can't trust God for you. You have to learn how to trust God yourself. And that comes through studying his word, praying. Right, family? As much as I love you all, I can't trust God for you. That's personal. That's you and God. It comes a point where it's just either I trust God or I don't. And if I don't, then I'm going to get impatient and I will build a golden calf and give it credit for everything that's going on in my life. God help us. That's the Exodus 23 and 20. It says, behold, I will send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Somebody say amen. Make a note of that. We've been working too hard. We've been chasing the wrong things. We've been following the wrong things. Stay close to God. God's already prepared the place for us to go. We just have to follow. We already have the victory. Yes, we have to go through the battle, but the war has been won and the victory is ours. Verse 21 says, beware of him and obey his voice. Listen to the voice of God through his word. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. God is saying, I'm speaking through my word. I'm speaking through my angel. I'm speaking through my messenger. He cannot forgive your sins. We know that because only God can forgive sins. Somebody say amen. That's why you don't need to confess to nobody but God. Amen. Somebody say amen. You don't need to confess your sins to anyone. Now, if you're bearing each other's burdens and you're sharing and you have your accountability, but we can't forgive. You can't come to me to forgive your sins. I can't do that. That's way above my pay grade. I'm way out of line. I can point you to the one who does. Yes. And God alone. That's why they were upset with Jesus in Luke chapter 5. I believe it's verse 20. Jesus told the gentleman, your sins are forgiven. They said, wait a minute. You can't wait a minute, dude. You can't say that. Jesus said, yes, I can. You guys don't understand. I'm God in the flesh. I can forgive sins. That's what Christ told them. You and I can't say that. That's why we thank God for doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Lord, thank you. We all need a Savior. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need a Savior. It makes us all even. It makes us all even. That's why I can't look down on you, because, hey, I know by the grace of God I am what I am. Got to confess my sins. Somebody say amen. Verse 22, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto your enemies and an adversary unto your adversaries. Verse 23, for my angel shall, he says it again, my angel shall go before you, bring you into the, and bring thee unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will annihilate them. The word in Hebrew is annihilate them. So we have all these giants in our life. They look like the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites. God says, you stick with me, you follow me, I'm going to annihilate them. So we have to trust God.
Amen.
Can we trust God? I mean, we have all these giants in our life. When they went to spy out the land, they said, I see, we look like grasshoppers and they look like giants. God said, it's okay, my angels already, my presence has already gone before you. Follow me. They get into the wilderness. Moses is taking too long. And right away they say, quickly they say, we need a new God. You're in your situation. It's a giant of a situation. You have a decision to make. You're not sure. You're waiting on God, but you, God, I'm giving you, what's today? God, I'm giving you till Monday. Well, it's already Sunday, Sunday morning. You're giving God less than 24 hours. God, I'm going to give you until Monday, and then I got to do something. It's no bueno. It's not good. All right, here's the revelation. God tells us once again that his angel will go before us to defeat the giants in our life. God says, I will annihilate, completely destroy the giants, the giant obstacles in our life if we continue to submit, commit, trust, follow, and worship him. God will annihilate and the fear, the unbelief, the despair, the hopelessness, the uncertainty, and the confusion. And these giants show up in many different circumstances, situations, forms, and fashion. But God will not only defeat them, but God will annihilate them. I don't care what those giants look like on your job, in your home, in your relationship. I don't care what they look like. God said, my presence has already gone before you. I'm going to annihilate them. Don't build the golden calf. Don't freak out. Don't start tripping. God says, I have it. Can't tell you how many times in scripture where Jesus told him, fear not. God told Joshua, we're in chapter 13, 14, and God has told Joshua time after time, don't be afraid. It's the revelation of somebody this morning. God says, don't be afraid. I don't care what that giant looks like. Trust God. Submit, commit, surrender. And let God work out the details. Don't get impatient and build a golden calf. Don't get impatient and start following something that you shouldn't follow. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's conclude. Let's conclude. Let's go back to Exodus 32. And let's kind of wrap this up. Exodus 32 and 30. Let's see if we can wrap this up. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Moses came to pass on, and it came to pass on the morning that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin. He's talking about them building the golden calf. Why? Because it's number one. Remember, it's a great sin. Don't, family, first thing we have to do is not minimize sin. Don't minimize it. Well, I didn't go as far as somebody else went. They're doing that. Don't minimize it. It's a great sin. Golden calf is a great sin. Society will tell you it's okay and it's all good and you're not that bad. But the word of God says it's a great sin. So don't minimize a sin. came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up to the Lord, up unto the Lord, perhaps I shall make an atonement for your sin. Make a note, family. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, that the atonement's already been made for our sin. We don't have to wait for Moses to go up. Christ has already did it once and for all. Thank you, Lord. Somebody needs to go up for your sin. And it can't be you. Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Once and for all. It's amazing. I don't argue with people. I just ask them, what do they do with the sin in their life? Was teaching the youth last week on our fourth Sunday, we were going through Romans, the Romans road, as they call it. We started Romans 3:23 that says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when your friends are trying to clown you at school and college, oh, you go to church, you a Jesus freak, you just sat in it. Now, wait, hold up. Everybody's committed a sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What do you do with your sins? Because they don't just go away. So what do you do with the sin in your life? Well, I don't sin. So tell me this. You're smarter than the Bible. That's all I want you to tell me. If you're dealing with someone that arrogant, you need to get away from them. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you're going to tell me you don't. So I just want to ask you one question. So you smarter than the Bible? Oh, I wish they'd tell me yes. I get away from them so fast. Are you kidding? Are you going to tell me you're smarter than the Bible? The arrogance. Really? We all need an atonement for our sins. We can't minimize it. And we thank God that Jesus went up for us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Wow. So I just kind of did a little. Okay, gods of gold. So I looked. Who's it? Is that Dominique with me?
Yes.
Dominique, pull up Daniel chapter 3:12. So what I want you to know is that the gods of gold, they're not going to go away. Daniel 3:12, Dominique. There are certain Jews whom thou hast cast over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Now take us to Daniel 5:3-4. It's always something trying to distract you. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the kings and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. Number 4, Dominique. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. You can make a god out of anything. It's not, youth is not going to go away. Family is not going to go. We're going to leave here and some type of god, golden image is going to try and distract us. And say, I'm more important than your Lord and Savior. It's not going to go away. Okay, Pastor, you say that's Old Testament. Okay, Dominique, take us to the New Testament. Let's go to Luke 22, verse 1. We'll go 1 through 6. What am I saying? I'm saying it's not going to go away. I got to have my mind made up that I'm going to worship God only. I will build other things, but I will worship nothing but God. And if those other things get in the way of me worshiping God, I will let them go. Now, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called the Passover. Amen. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, talking of Jesus, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being one of the number of the 12. Wow. You're going to be led by something. God help us. And you only got two choices who's going to lead you. You can't say, well, I'm not going to follow God. I'm just going to follow myself. Well, that's the influence of Satan. So actually, you're following Satan. There's only two options. People don't want to hear that. I know that's a hard word, Pastor. I know. That's why we have to be light, salt, and love. It's only two options. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenant or agreed to give him money. And then we know it was silver, it was 30 pieces of silver. How much will it take for you and I to sell out God? How many pieces of gold and silver that before I say, God, I'll betray you? Is that verse 6, Dominique? Let's see, what does verse 6 say? And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. So I have a note right here. What does my note say? Okay, let me find my note. Oh, here you go. Even if you betray God when no one is around, God still knows. Got to come clean. The gold itself represents brilliance and splendor. So you can see how it's easy to get distracted by it. But we know God is the greatness and the glory and the victory. And the majesty. So, family, as we conclude, let's go back and finish. Dominique, take us to Exodus 30, 32. Let's finish there. 32, I'm sorry. 32, 32. Exodus 32, 32. We finish that up. God, help us not to betray you for anything. He says, yet now, Exodus 32, 30, yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. It's talking about the book of life. Same thing it talks about in Revelation 20, 15, the book of life. It's a lot of different theories on that. The Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And we know in Revelation 20, 15, it talks about those that were not written in the Lamb's book of life were cast into the lake of fire. So some say that when we're born, that everybody's name is written into the book of life. This is just what some say. As you go through and you don't accept Christ, then your name is blotted out. Not that you can lose your salvation because you never had it.
Amen.
It's a theory.
Gotcha.
Just what some say. Some say no. When we accept Christ, an angel writes our name into the Lamb's book of life and it's sealed. Either way, it's through Jesus Christ that we have eternal life. So as you're pondering it, just make sure that you've made the commitment to join yourself with Christ, to invite Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. Make sure that you worship God only. So as we've been doing with this, we've been trying to just make sure we stay focused on God and make sure we worship God. So we're gonna have a worship song. And I just want you to just focus on the goodness of God. Your worship is on God. And then who's closing us out in prayer? Then Darius is going to close us out in prayer, and we are going to dismiss. So just let's worship together. Our focus is on Jesus Christ. Just think about what Jesus did for us. How he died on that cross. He took the place of us. He's God in the flesh. He's the first. He's the last. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. God, forgive us if we placed any golden calves above you. God, we ask for your forgiveness. We place you at the top, Lord. Forgive us for chasing things that had no value, no eternal value. We confess and forsake. We worship you this morning, Lord. A heart-to-heart connection. Yes, we put you back in first place in our life, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you this morning. Thank you for forgiveness of sins, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. We love you, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Trust you with our life. We trust you with the situation, the circumstance. We trust you with the relationship. Let us surrender, submit, commit, and worship you, Lord, like never before. So much deception and distractions going on these days, Lord. Let us elevate you to your rightful place, that name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. You are the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. God, let us trust you with the details. Let us submit, surrender, trust you with the details. Give us peace in the midst of confusion. Give us confidence in you in the midst of uncertainty. Let us enjoy all the benefits of life that you've given us, but let us worship you only. Thank you, Lord. Seal this message, seal this word, seal it in our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we got Darius coming up to, let's thank God. Okay, Lady Tracy has an announcement. Okay, I had the message after the message. Well, I want y'all to know that. Lady Tracy has an announcement. Then Brother Darius is going to close us in prayer. Amen. Lady Tracy.
I've been in a position actually receive